I'm glad to be here tonight. Amen.
Amen.
Tell you, I'll be transparent with you. I probably know maybe a quarter of the songs Brother Larry sings. And my friend, he told me that. He said it's funny how you go to different churches, and he said, is my mic on back there, Miss Susie? All right, good. Amen. And he said, it's funny, you go to different churches, and he said, you sing a lot of hymns that you don't know, you're not familiar with. He said, it's just that kind of way with certain areas. He said, then you hear those hymns, you begin to like those hymns, and I've heard several of them. I think a lot of the churches I traveled to when I first started preaching, you know, I didn't know any hymns whatsoever a couple of years ago. And I love hearing people sing about the Lord. I was telling Brother Lowell last week, he needs to write a hymn. Amen.
Amen.
I said, Lowell P. Nip. I said, that sounds like a name you'd see in a hymn book. It's got the middle initial with it and everything right there. But I was singing about that song we were singing. And I love the way that, you know, before, you know, Brother Larry and I did not talk about what I was going to be preaching tonight or the service or anything like that prior to tonight. And I love the way that, you know, when God did something, the Holy Ghost will orchestrate it. And we sang that song right before I get up to preach called Stepping in the Light. And it's talking about walking with the Lord and walking in His light. And I'm going to be in Ephesians chapter number 5 tonight. And that's what I'm going to be preaching about. So I'm glad to be here. And I pray this message will be a blessing and encouragement to you. Last week, or last Sunday evening, rather, we were in Ephesians chapter number 5, and we talked about following God as dear children, if you remember, and we kind of evaluated that scripture and what it means to be a follower of God, amen. And as we come into this scripture this week, what I believe that we see is that God, through the Apostle Paul, he's expressing to the church of Ephesus how it is important to walk with God, amen. To walk with God. And I believe that God can use anybody in this room if they'll make a conscious decision that they are going to live for Him, that they're going to walk with Him. I was listening to one of my favorite preachers. He's from down in Georgia. His name is Brother Mark Stroud. And he said something this week, and it's stuck with me. He said, a man that stands alone with God stands in the majority. Amen. And although the world might turn its back on you, and although you may feel like a fish swimming upstream or like you're going against the grain, as long as you're walking with God, amen, you're in the right place. And I believe the Apostle Paul, he expresses the importance of this to the church at Ephesus. And I'm going to go ahead and jump right in at the scripture that we read last week, just under that. And we're going to begin reading in verse number 6. And the Bible says, let no man deceive you with vain words. For because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. For ye were sometimes in darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, just like the song that we sang just a moment ago. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love you, and Lord, we thank you so much for this day. I thank you for this church and for these folks, God. And Lord, I'm thankful tonight that you led Brother Larry to sing that song, Father, that we We sing about stepping in the light and walking with you and Father, Lord, trying our best to walk that path and to stay on that path that you've set before us, God. And Lord, I pray that you would just get me out of the way tonight and help me to speak the message, Lord, that your Holy Ghost would have me to say, God. And Lord, that it might edify your church and that it might strengthen the saints that are here with us this evening. Lord, I pray for any of them that might be here under the sound of my voice that have never trusted you by faith, that tonight they would get that right before they leave this sanctuary, God. And we'll give you thanks and praise and honor and glory for all that's said and done. Please convict our hearts, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, we read a little bit last week about following the Lord, and we're going to read a little bit this week about walking with the Lord. And I believe that as Paul talks about this, he's oftentimes there are things that preachers can try and say and express, and it's oftentimes hard for us to put into words the things that we want to say. It's hard for us to find the words to say. It's hard for us to find the ways to express the things that we feel need said. But I believe that Paul, as he's writing this letter, he does a pretty good job of expressing the importance to walk with Christ and to follow Christ in this scripture. And I like what it says right here in verse number 14, I believe it is. It says, "Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest. Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead." Now in the chapter prior to this one, in this very same book, Paul will write to this church. He says, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins." So we identify very quickly right here off the bat is that Paul, he's talking to the church. He's talking to Christians. He's talking to people that have been born again, because it is impossible for someone that does not know the grace of God and someone that has not been quickened by the Holy Ghost of God to walk with Him and please Him. The Bible says that without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Amen. So Paul, he's urging the church. He says, "You who have been made quickened," that means to be made alive. That means to be rejuvenated or brought to life. He said, "Arise, thou that sleepest, arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light." And see, many a times when I think of it this way, and I think of somebody waking up, and I think of the lights being turned on, I think it's interesting how I think of my own self as a teenager when I was a young adult. And my mom would, during the summer when I was off of school, she would come in and it'd be 10:30 or 11 o'clock and I'd still be in bed, I'd still be asleep, and she'd come in and she'd flip the lights on. And those lights would come on and they'd wake me up, but I didn't want to go anywhere, Brother Lowell. I was comfortable where I was. And I fear that in today's church, that's the same way that a lot of people are once they get saved. The light gets turned on, they get quickened, they wake up, they're rejuvenated, they're made alive by the Spirit of God, but they want to stay right there within that comfort zone. They don't want to have to get out and make that bed and make things right and then go on and find the task of the day that's set before them. They don't want to be called to do anything. They just want to be comfortable. They just want to be the going through the motions type of Christian. Amen. That's what we find in a lot of today's churches. I'm encouraged when I come to a church and I get questions like, "Well, how do you feel about knocking on doors? And how do you feel about getting that bus running? And how you feel about getting people in this church?" That's encouraging in a day like today. Amen. That's a group of people who are arrived, who are risen up, who are wanting to do something for God. Amen. And if we're going to do something for God in this day and age, we're going to have to walk by His side. Amen. And Paul, he preaches this message to the church at Ephesus, and he tells them of the instruction that they need to hear. He says, "Arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light." And the first thing that I want us to notice about this walk with the Lord is in verse number 15, that it is a deliberate walk. It is a deliberate walk. Now that word deliberate, what it means carefully weighed or considered or very cautious or intentional. You ever hear somebody say, well, so-and-so, they did that deliberately. That means it was premeditated. That means it was on purpose. That means that they accomplished the goal that they had in mind when they set forth to do something. And if we're going to make our minds up to serve God, you don't just serve God by accident. You don't just serve God because it's convenient, because oftentimes it's not convenient to serve God. Oftentimes the godly decision that you're faced with to make when you have a right and a wrong choice, oftentimes the right choice, the godly choice, is going to be the one that's going to be the most conflicting. It's going to be the one that brings the most trouble. It's going to be the one that causes the biggest stir among people. But I'm here to tell you and here this evening that it is going to be a deliberate walk if you choose to walk with Christ. Amen. Look what it says. See then that ye walk circumspectly. One of my favorite preachers, he was talking about that word, and he said, I would like to think of it this way. He said, if you think of what walking circumspectly means, he said, imagine you have fence posts lined up. You got a fence, a privacy fence lined up. And you've ever seen a cat walk across a fence post, they have that great balance and that cunningness, and it doesn't matter how wide that thing is, they can just scoot across it. And he said, that cat, he's on one side of that fence, and he knows he needs to get to the other side. But on one side of that fence, he's got a pack of hungry Rottweilers, and on the other side of that fence, he's got a pack of hungry Dobermans. Now, if you're that cat, you're going to be a little bit more careful once you see those dogs, amen? You're going to be a little bit more careful. He's going to have some more caution about him. And that's how you and I ought to treat our walk with God in the Christian life. Because I promise you, the devil has set up traps. The devil has set up snares. The devil has set up temptations for every single person in this room. He's trying to take you down. Amen. And Paul says, if you're going to walk for Christ, it needs to be a deliberate walk. He said, see then that you walk circumspectly. The Bible says, be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary the devil walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. That is not G-rated speech. I think I mentioned this before, but you ever watch those documentaries about lions and how they stalk their prey and how they attack those gazelles and those zebras and whatnot? That is a graphic image that we find. And God, He makes that comparison in His Word. He said He's seeking whom He may devour. Amen. He's wanting to tear your life up from the ground up and leave you with nothing to show for Christ. It's got to be a deliberate walk. He says, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. And what I believe the Apostle Paul's pointing out to you and I in this passage of Scripture, amen, is that there is a right way to do things and that there is a wrong way to do things. I'm a preacher, and my philosophy of the Bible goes something like this. I don't believe that there are gray areas, amen. I believe that if God says that it is holy, then it is holy. And if God says that it is sin, then it is sin. That it is black or it's white, it's wrong or it's right. And there is no in between. And I believe that as Paul speaking to this church, he says, listen, you need to walk as wise men walk, and walk not as fools. See, a lot of the times where people get mixed up and where churches get mixed up and they find themselves in a mess is they try and accommodate themselves to be like the world. They try to appropriate the holy things of God to match up with the cultural norms of the day. And what you find is churches that endorse things like homosexuality, and churches that endorse things like abortion, and churches that endorse things like sinful, wicked rock and roll music. And I'm here to tell you this evening that God says there is a right way to do things and a wrong way to do things. And if you're going to choose to walk with Him, it is going to have to be a deliberate choice to walk the path that He said to walk. Amen.
Amen.
He said, not as fools, but as wise. The only way to walk circumspectly, the only way to have that deliberate walk with God, is to walk the way He wants you to walk. Amen. We go into the next verse and we see that it needs to be a diligent walk. It needs to be a diligent walk. Look what Paul says. Redeeming the time, because the days are evil. And I was reading a little bit of commentary today, and I was reading about the context of this passage of Scripture and what Paul is saying. He says, when he says redeeming the time, he said that was somewhat of a merchant's term in that time. He said it means to buy back those opportunities, to buy back that time. And what I believe that God is expressing to us through His Word here this evening is that we can't waste any time as a church.
Amen.
There's no time to waste when people outside of these doors all around this community are dying and going to hell as we speak. He says, redeeming the time for the days are evil. Paul's living in a day and age where he's trying to plant churches. He's trying to do something for God. But it's because it's causing quite a stir among the Romans, even among the Jewish people and among the Gentiles. And it seems like from every corner they're trying to attack this thing called the gospel. And they're trying to snuff this thing out. And they're trying to cut away and put restrictions on the work of God that Paul is trying to do. And might I say that in this day and age in which we live, it is no different. Hey, I'm talking about you're not allowed to have prayer over the intercom in schools anymore. That happened a while back. But you know that unless you get approval from a student in a school, you're not allowed to hand out a gospel tract. I'm not sure how things are here in Kentucky, but I know in West Virginia, if I hand out gospel tracts, if I get caught handing out religious literature on a school on school property, and that student hasn't given me permission to offer that to them, then I'm going to get in trouble. I could get in big trouble legally for that. I know that if we have an assembly or if we offer a gospel presentation at the school, it has to be considered non-voluntary. It can't or voluntary. It can't be considered as something that's non-voluntary. And what there are people that hate God, that hate His Word, that hate His standards, that hate the moral stand that the Bible takes. And what they want to do is they want to try and box in the gospel, and they want to try and put as many limits and restrictions on the work of God as they can. And you say, preacher, well, it's nothing like the persecution that they face in other countries. Well, I understand that. But we have to understand that we live in a country that is built upon a foundation of Christianity. And if they're going to take down a country like that, they just can't come in and wipe it all out at once. What they're going to do is they're going to take those chisels and they're going to break away at that foundation until it crumbles in on itself. And if we're going to do something for God, we ought to get busy, because we have to redeem the time, because the days are evil.
Amen.
This wicked world, it sought to take away Christian liberty with Paul, and it's still doing the same today. God help us, God help me, to take advantage of every opportunity that God gives us to witness.
Amen.
I don't know if you've ever been in a position where you found yourself led to witness to somebody and you didn't do it, you let them walk away. But you want to talk about sleepless nights and cramps in your stomach and not being able to think straight without seeing that person's face? I had a preacher tell me one time he preached a funeral for a man, and it was way, way out in the country. And he said that they finally got out from after the funeral service, and they went to the graveside, and they drove way up on this hill, and they buried the man there. And he sat around for a little while after the service, after the graveside, and they did the committal, and he was talking with the family, and he was consoling them and you know, just praying for them. And he said the whole time that he was sitting there talking to them, he could hear that shovel hitting that dirt behind him. Is that man, he said, it was a man in bibbed overalls, and he was just up on top of that hill. He was the caretaker for that property, I guess, for that family, and he was sticking that shovel in that dirt, and he was throwing that dirt into that hole. And he said he kept hearing that shovel hit that dirt, and every time he would, God would say, go witness to that man. Go talk to that man. He needs the Lord. You need to go talk to him. And the preacher said that the family, they were torn up from the loss of that friend that they had lost him. That preacher kept checking his watch, and he was sitting there and he was talking with him, and it got to a point where he had another appointment that he had to make back at the church, and he was quite a ways outside of town, and he got in his car and he drove off, and he said he got about 4 or 5 miles down the road, and he said he made his mind up. God was dealing with him. He said, I'm going back to talk to that man, that gravedigger. And he said he got back there, and it took him about 20 minutes to get all the way back out that holler on top of that hill where that grave was. And when he got up there, that man was gone. He said nobody knew that man's name. Nobody knew where he came from. Nobody knew who hired him. He couldn't find out as hard as he tried. And he said every day he thinks of that man, and he prays that somehow, some way, he was able to have the gospel presented to him, because that man didn't take advantage of the opportunity that God had given him to do so. Man, I tell you, that ought to be one of our prayers each and every single day when we wake up. God, give me some opportunity to present someone with the gospel. And when you give me that opportunity, help me to have the boldness to take advantage of it. Because I promise you, as sure as I'm standing here today, I believe that the rapture of the church could happen before that clock strikes 8 o'clock tonight. I believe that God could, the Bible says that in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, those which are dead in Christ shall be raised. And those of us which are alive and remain shall be caught up in the air to meet the Lord.
Amen.
I believe it could happen before we say the last amen here tonight. And with the time that we're given, we need to be profitable for the glory of God. If we're going to walk with God, it has to be a diligent walk. Amen. And last but not least, I'll finish with this. Let's go back to verse number 15. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Now listen to this. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Not only does our walk with God have to be a deliberate walk and a diligent walk, it has to be a discerned walk. And you say, why do you say that, preacher? I'm glad you asked. God exhorts the young preacher Timothy. God through Paul is exhorting the young preacher Timothy in the last epistle that would ever leave the pen of Paul, and he says this: preach the word, be instant in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust they shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. We are living in a day when it seems like people will believe anybody in a certain tie that gets up behind a pulpit with a Bible in their hand is a preacher. And the Bible tells us, it warns us in Matthew chapter 7, the words of Jesus. He says, beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. And the devil, he has set these people in churches all across America. And I'm not just talking about health and wealth, prosperity preachers and televangelists on TV. I'm talking about Bible-believing churches. God has put these people in pulpits, and they no longer preach standards. They no longer preach convictions. They no longer preach separation. And the reason for that is so that the people might become desensitized to the discernment of the Holy Spirit of God and the Word of God. And so when the world looks on that church to try and see something different, to try to see the gospel light, it is muffled out by that camouflage. Amen. Of wickedness. It's got to be a discerned walk. Luke's speaking in Acts, he says, for I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own self shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Yep. Man, if we are ever living in a day and age where this world is full of false teachers, where this world is full of people who say they speak for God, and the modern day Christian church seems to have no discernment regarding these things. They gobble up everything they hear as truth.
Amen.
And I want to read a scripture to you. Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even, dividing asunder of the soul and spirit and the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. You know, the only thing that matters here tonight, discerning our walk with the Lord, is this right here.
Amen.
Because God's Holy Spirit, who strives with men in this present day and age, is never going to contrast what you find on these pages.
Amen.
On these pages, we find defined and outlined and laid right in front of us is the very character and person of God. The Bible says, and the Word was made flesh. the eternal decrees of God. Before there was ever a heaven and earth, before there was ever a church at Ephesus, there was a book of Ephesians, there was a word of Paul that God would use through him. God's words are forever settled in heaven. That's what the Bible says. And in this day and age, a man that's going to choose to walk with God, a man that's going to choose to strive with the Spirit of God, to mirror, he's going to make up in his mind that he wants his character to mirror that of God, is going to have to be one with discernment. That goes for everybody in here tonight. We have to have discernment concerning the things of God. Man, I tell you, my desire for this life is not to have my name up in lights or be on revival posters or be somebody that's well known. I just want to be somebody that's been faithful to God. Amen. If I were to leave here, nobody in this sanctuary would remember my name, but God would remember the things that happened because someone was faithful. That's all I would need. How badly do you desire to walk with the Lord tonight? Is there a fire in your bones? Have you made up your mind that when God looks for a faithful servant, you want Him to choose you? How do you feel about that tonight? I want to walk with the Lord. I don't want to be found going wayward. I don't want to be found straying. I don't want to be found compromising. I want to stay faithful and holy and consecrated to God Almighty. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes with me this evening? I like this song. I think it's fitting. And I invite you to come to the altar and pray if God's dealt with you tonight. But we're going to sing page 86 as a song of invitation in the garden. I encourage you to sing along with me.